Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Eye on the Tigers podcast. My name is Eli Hoff and I'm your Mizzou sports beat writer for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch at stltoday.com. Back again with another episode. I'm joined today by a man who may or may not be counting down the hours until he's on a plane to Florida. It's our soon-to-be spring training bound columnist, Ben Fredrickson. Ben, in your final hours in Missouri before you head down to warmer, springier pastures, how are you doing this morning?
I'm good. Yeah, I go down to spring every year kind of toward the end, and usually it means that there's the topics have gone from happy that spring is back and, you know, the grass is green and the sky is blue to something bad has happened and people are worried how the Cardinals will overcome it or not. And now that Sonny Gray is hurt, I can officially pack my bags and go down to spring training and see what to make of this baseball team. So I'll be down there through the end. And last year I was kind of, I'll be honest, it was hard to leave because Missouri was headed back to the NCAA tournament and there was such an exciting basketball season going on that I felt like I was kind of in the wrong place. This year, I'm not feeling that way so much about Mizzou or SLU. I'll get to catch a little bit of Arch Madness here in St. Louis before I take off. But that might be the most exciting basketball I've witnessed all year. It's been a great year for the Valley. Indiana State is like a national favorite as a Cinderella hopeful. So at least we'll get some good basketball in the region. The Illinois fans seem to be happy, though, and that's good for them. They've got a real chance. But other than that, it's been pretty grim, man.
Yeah, well, just for basketball in the state of Missouri at large, when you look at Mizzou, you look at SLU, and I haven't looked at Missouri State, but I've seen bad things about the attendance at their games. I don't think it's been a banner year for Missouri as a college hoop state.
Yeah, our colleague Jeff Gordon does the Missouri, you know, the state of Missouri basketball rankings, and it's been a sad exercise this year. State of Misery, I think, has probably been used a few times. I felt like we were pulling out of this when Travis Ford got some things going at SLU, and then when Dennis Gates popped at Mizzou in year one. But it just shows you how hard it is to kind of sustain a rise. And I don't think people are too down on Dennis, despite the fact that they haven't won a conference game, in terms of what could happen in the future. But it's the honeymoon is probably over for Coach Gates at Mizzou, I would imagine.
Oh, it definitely is at this point. But it's one of those things, too, where I think the tendency, and this is not just in basketball, but the tendency with modern college sports and the transfer portal being what it is that people tend to think, oh, you can transform a program overnight. You can go from a terrible season to a great season just because, yeah, just go get some guys out of the portal. But teams, somebody has to win every game and somebody has to lose every game. There still have to be bad teams with this. So I think there's learning that that's how college sports still work has been something that has happened this year for Mizzou fans and SLU fans and even Indiana fans. And a lot of teams are learning that lesson. But we can talk a little bit of basketball to start, I guess, because that is probably it's noteworthy that it's still happening. And there's only one more week where we can really talk about games still happening for Mizzou. One regular season game left, one chance to avoid 0-18. And then however many games they get out of the SEC tournament, they'll go in as the 14 seed.
Yeah. One game.
Yeah.
Come on.
Here's the thing, Ben. Here's the thing. It would, you know, I haven't been around Mizzou that long. And so I feel as though I probably shouldn't be this cynical already. But wouldn't it be a very Mizzou thing to go to Nashville and in front of whatever number of fans show up to the Wednesday night games in Nashville and beat like 11 seed Georgia for the first SEC win of the season and then go just get club. I don't know who they, I haven't even looked at the bracket. I don't know who they would face. if they won that game, but just go get clubbed by a Tennessee or Kentucky or something on the next day. Wouldn't that be a Mizzou thing to do out there?
Well, it would stir memories of Kim Anderson, I believe it was beating Auburn, and walking off the court saying, you know, stick that up your a word I can't use on the podcast here. But it would be a nice moral victory if they were able to claw one out at the SEC tournament for sure. It would be nice for this team not to be the first Mizzou team since I believe Missouri was in the Missouri Valley Conference, speaking of MVC hoops, to not win a conference game over the course of its schedule. That would be nice to not have that be on your record. Will it make a greater difference? No, but you don't want to be the team that didn't win a conference game. And I think that this team has a high chance of becoming that team. Look, you've written it. I've written it. We can't talk about it. We can, but there's no sense in talking about it, why this happened more. I mean, we've documented all the reasons as to why this happened. There've been some injuries. This team's under talented. They don't do the things that they're not good at well enough to overcome the things they're supposed to be good at that they're not. And on down the list, they don't play defense well and they don't rebound well. And those are really tough things to do when you can't score a lot of points. That's it. However, they can be a much more competitive team next season because of the state of college basketball. We saw it in Gates' first season. If he gets the portal right, if the young guys get better, if the new guys come in and make an impact. But I think the thing that's become really clear to me watching this team this season is, like, it's not going to be enough to simply say, hey, good freshmen are coming in. These freshmen who play this year are going to be better. Hopefully both of those things are true, but I think he's going to really need to make some 2 to 3, like, significant wins in the transfer portal for this team to be one that can turn the page on this season. And if it means some guys who are expected to come back don't, that's part of it at this level. And they're going to have to get the portal right this off season to be a team that's not once again kind of scraping the bottom of the league next year. I think that's been my kind of revelation. I could sense a team that this could be a transition season, but I was also one at the beginning said, hey, they're going to have some young guys who are really talented next year. They could be a team that's young, but hungry and performing soon. They're going to need some help to get there, or else it's going to be another rough season next year. That's kind of where I'm at on this group.
Well, I think that's right. And we'll talk more off season once the off season actually
for
formally
sure
begins. And, you know, and I can ask Dennis Gates about that and not be out of line in doing so. But yeah, you know, if next year you're just relying on some freshmen and sophomores, you know, if you're relying on 8 freshmen and sophomores and Tamar Bates to carry your team, you know, you're still not going to be good. And being young and bad is probably preferable to being old and bad, because that's one of the frustrating things this season, I think, for people. Yeah. Is, you know, watching a Noah Carter and Nick Honor who are out of eligibility struggle through this. You know, there's not a lot of upside in watching them struggle. So, you know, maybe next year will be different there. But I do want to, you know, I'll tease, this is, you know, I've been digging through the old archives this week to look back at that, the last time Mizzou didn't win a conference game, which was 1907, 1908, when it was the Missouri Valley Conference, when they played most of their conference games in a 1 week span, where it was like it wasn't even a road trip. They took a train just around, you know, Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, playing these conference games. But this is a line that was written from the Alumni Magazine Quarterly in 1908. That they say, let us hope for better things next year. If there's one thing we Missourians are particularly strong on, it is hoping to do better next year.
Yeah.
Even back in 1908, that's what Mizzou fans were thinking. So for all of y'all listening, it wasn't just the generation before you or the generation before that. It was probably the generation 3 generations ago that has been experiencing the same thing you're doing now. It's a universal struggle. So I think that's enough hoops talk. There will be more off-season things. There will be more games. Watch them if you please. And the transfer portal opens up soon enough, so there can be focus on that. You know, Ben, the more interesting thing going on around here is spring football. And now we've seen a few practices. Mizzou is going to have its first scrimmage this Saturday. It's a closed, just inter-squad scrimmage. I maybe we'll find out a little bit of kind of what they're planning to do there, but getting some live reps there. And then the spring game is a week from now, and then just like that, spring football is over. And one of the things I've noticed here is and this shouldn't come as a big revelation, but man, there's a lot of turnover on the defensive side of the ball with just new faces to learn and players gone. That there's a lot of opportunity there, but a lot of guys who are going to have to step up on that side of the ball, because it just it's weird to not see Ennis Rakestraw and Chris Abrams-Drain as the two corners when they're running one-on-one drills with the wide receivers. It's weird not to see Tyron Hopper and Chad Bailey as the linebackers. It's weird not to see D-Rob in the defensive line room and hear him yelling and all of that stuff. And so Ben, I know you've been around Mizzou a little bit longer, but can you think of past seasons where there's been a Mizzou half of the ball unit, whatever you want to call it, that's been so strong but then seen so much turnover? This is how college sports work, but I'm curious what maybe parallels you see going into this season from a personnel standpoint with Mizzou.
Well, it seems like every time there's a really strong performance on one side of the ball, there's almost a need of the other side to kind of prop up the team as a whole once a new season begins. And I feel like last season it was the opposite. There were so many questions on the offensive side, and maybe some of those were overblown, right? Clearly, the conversation about Brady Cook in the quarterback competition was not much of a competition last season, and we saw why. But the fact is, they entered that season with a quarterback competition, uncertainty at running back, offensive line uncertainty, and the defense was the set thing. And now it very much feels like that has flipped. And ideally, you'd hope that your offense was, firing on enough cylinders that some of the whatever growing pains or uncertainty that has to kind of crystallize for the defense can happen on the fly. The good news, I think, is that a lot of these guys who are being asked to step up on the defensive side have played. That's a good thing. These aren't brand new players. These are guys who've been, mixing in different spots. These are guys who jumped in case of injuries, guys who maybe had a chance to treat the bowl game as like their big debut. And I think we saw some encouraging performances there, but this to me, the defense is a big deal because you've lost your leader in the coordinator. You've lost key players that maybe weren't superstars, but were really solid. And now, kind of as you said, you kind of look at the holes that are there, and unfortunately, it's something that tends to happen after really good seasons because guys are playing at levels that can get them to the pros. They're expiring their eligibility, and they've been around as leaders, guys who've weathered that storm. So, I mean, it's happened before. It happens every time there's, usually in Mizzou's case, it kind of happens every time there's a really good team. Which in college football, guys who've been around, who are older, they tend to be good players, and they certainly are good teammates and good leaders. We're going to talk a lot about Blake Baker. And the coordinator change, to me, the leadership change and who fills those leadership voids, not just for this defense, but for this team. I mean, some of these defensive leaders were some of the most important leaders on the team. I mean, Cody Schrader, obviously not a defensive player, but between Cody Schrader and Darius Robinson, like those guys were vocal. How many times did we hear those guys talk after a win, after a loss? Those were two players that Eli Drinkwitz and his assistants could point to the team and say, go be this guy, go follow in his footsteps, and you'd feel good about that example. And when those guys walk through the door and leave, it's you kind of look around and go, oh, okay, who's next? And who's gonna pick up that mantle? It helps to have a starting quarterback back. Luther Burden, I think, has become a bigger and bigger leader on this team. He has, I think, not maybe given enough credit for how he's stuck at Mizzou and continued to promote Mizzou and really kind of be, he's almost like the unofficial hype man of the team, and that matters. But they've lost some guys who not only talk the talk but walk the walk. And putting that together now with a new coach, it's that's going to be a story that I think for folks closely following the team is a big one. Missouri's getting a lot of praise, a lot of hype. I think they could be a playoff team as this thing expands, but how this defense fills the holes is going to be a big deal.
It is. Well, and seeing some of the turnover is interesting too, because it's a lot of there's been a lot of transfer portal additions, a lot of good transfer portal additions who
Yeah.
will start and be contributors, but that's it's different from what they're replacing, because you look at some of these players who left on the offensive line, Jervon Foster and Xavier Delgado spent their entire careers at Mizzou. You know, Delgado, I think, was there for 6 years, Jervon Foster for five. You know, they'd been around. Cody Schrader was a transfer in, but spent 2 years there. Darius Robinson had been there for a long time. Chad Bailey had been there for a long time. You know, JC Carlisle's been there for a long time. Ennis and K80 been there for a long time. And so that's a sort of, I say cultural understanding as in locker room culture, but some of that they've been part of that process. A lot of those guys had been there since Eli Drinkwitz had been there. And one of the key things that you heard, you know, Drinkwitz really championed this as last season went on, but you heard it from some of the players too down the stretch, once it was pretty clear that last year's team was good, was that, you know, they'd been through the mud as a team, as a program, and been through some of those grueling seasons where you're playing against Arkansas on Black Friday for bowl eligibility, that, you know, that's what made last year so special, right? You have to find a way, if that's the mentality and the, you know, the culture, the philosophy, whatever they want to have, if that's what you want to have instilled in this program, you have to find a way to teach that to these guys who are coming into the program. And that worked last year. That's not to say it can't work, but it presents an interesting hurdle there. And it's another reason why I think it's a good move to have Eli Drinkwitz in the CEO role and leave the play calling to Kirby Moore and Corey Batoon, and he can focus on sort of instilling that culture. But I think also, I know, Ben, you haven't had a chance to be out at spring practices, but I'll enlighten our listeners as to just how some of the positional battles that we've seen in spring camp have shaped up, with the preemptive disclaimer that it is spring football, it is not August football. This is all focused on individual development, not scheme stuff. There's a lot of, you know, Corey Batoon especially coming in and just kind of evaluating players, seeing what he has. There will be another transfer portal window before the season starts, so a lot of this could change. But what we've been sort of seeing in the limited bits of practice that we get to see has been a change on the offensive line. And I'm writing about this today, but Cameron Johnson, who was last year's right guard, has been moving over to the left side there. That's his more comfortable position. That's where he played at Houston, where he played, I think, 3 or 4 years before he transferred to Mizzou. So some familiarity there. It wouldn't surprise me if they went after a right guard in the portal. There's been some mention of that. Logan Reichert, who will be a sophomore or a redshirt freshman this year, a second-year player, he's been getting what looks like the first team reps there, but you know, I'm not sure if he's ready for that. So a potential spring portal look at right guard to go with backup quarterback, because you know, I'd say this with all due respect to the other quarterbacks not named Brady Cook on the roster, but you just watch them throw, you can tell a difference. This team needs a viable backup quarterback.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And then the defensive line is going to have a lot of rotation again. I don't know if anyone has clearly emerged on that side there. And in the cornerback room too, it looks like Drayden Norwood is going to be the top cornerback this year. And he obviously played a good amount last year with Ennis Rakestraw out, but so it'll be interesting to see there. And then as far as running backs go, it's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out. You can tell Nate Noel and Marcus Carroll have a leg up on the rest just with their experience. Nate Noel is fast, very fast, has good hands. Marcus Carroll is built like Cody Schrader. He looks like he could run you over. So it'll be interesting to see how that ends up going. You know, last year, I think people forget, Ben, going into last year, the plan was to do a running back tandem with Cody Schrader and Nathaniel Pete, and
Yep.
then Cody Schrader turned into Cody Schrader. So I don't think it would be out of the question. Frankly, I think it would be expected that there are going to be two running backs, maybe even three in play at the start of next season. So watching that. But again, it's early in spring and it's very early in the season. Ben, what other things are you maybe looking to? I know again you're going to be in Cardinals mode here and ignoring
Well,
all things Mizzou, but.
I liked what you said about kind of the motivating kind of narrative of last year's team. It won't really fuel this year's team. It can. I mean, Brady Cook can talk about how, look, nobody still believes in us, and that's fine. Like, whatever you want to tell yourself, but that's not the reality. I mean, this team is being predicted as one that could be named to know for the college football playoff. It may come down to that this season's success hinges not so much on guys who were sick and tired of being 500, who had been around for seasons and seasons. It may very much hinge on the new guys who are drawn to the success and opportunity that Mizzou had last season and could offer this year. I mean, just going through some of those players, the positions you mentioned, the transfers that are added are going to be in very influential spots. Oh, and if they're not, then something went wrong. I mean, you look at from the running back position with Marcus Carroll and what he did at Georgia State and this hole that now exists post Cody Schrader. We talked a lot about the defensive kind of holes that need to be filled. There are guys who ideally should be able to help plug those gaps who have never put on a Mizzou uniform before this spring. I mean, Toriano Pride comes from Clemson, Darius Smith from Georgia. You've got players who are transferring not from, small colleges trying to get used to life in the SEC. These are guys who have played in big settings on big teams who now see an opportunity to do more at Mizzou. So how kind of Missouri bridges the gap from being the team that, loved to rally around the fact that nobody believed in it, to how it now kind of capitalizes on that success and says, here's how they can build on that with players who saw what was happening from afar and wanted to be a part of it. Those are very different things. It's one is earning credibility, the other is maintaining it. And that's kind of where they are this season. It's probably a harder thing to do messaging wise because it's easy to get people fired up about nobody believed in you. It's a different thing to say, okay, now we're somebody. Can you hold on to it? And they're going to need some of these new faces to be a part of that. The one thing I've heard from spring, and you've witnessed this in person, is like it is jarring how big Caden Green is and how much he looks like a force ready to impact things right away. And that's the thing that jumps out to me is looking at these transfers that come in, and spring is ultimately a very good chance to get to see some of these guys. The transfers are coming not from Rice and not from, programs that are far away from the SEC. They're coming from Oklahoma. They're coming from Clemson. And the guys who are coming from smaller conferences are guys like Marcus Carroll, who have been some of the most dominant players in those smaller but football-obsessed leagues, guys who have been yearning for a chance to get that shot at the SEC. So I've noticed that with Drinkwitz's portal additions is he's gone from guys who you kind of go, okay, maybe he can fit in this league, to guys who go, well, this guy's got the credentials of someone who if they signed these guys as freshmen, people would have been ecstatic. And for some reason, we don't care what guys were recruited at star-wise in the transfer portal initially when they come as transfers. We don't factor that into the rankings. But I think Drinkwitz's portal additions have underscored what Mizzou's been able to do. I mean, look at Tyron Hopper. We forgot mostly that he was a transfer from Florida. He's added a bunch of guys like that in this offseason. And to me, those guys contributing immediately probably is more or less what's going to be a determine if Mizzou's a playoff caliber team or not.
Well, it will, and you're right to identify Caden Green because he doesn't look like he's going into his second year of college football. And from talking to Brandon Jones, the O-line coach, talking to some of the other linemen, he's ready. Cameron Johnson, who's going to be working with him on the left, was saying yesterday that Caden Green came in. He already knows the playbook. He knows all the plays. He knows all the schemes. He's got the familiarity. So now it's just building chemistry and reps and the little things. So it that helps the process accelerating. And especially when you're talking about whether it's offensive line or defensive line, players in the trenches. If you are just a recruit of a certain physical build, and we know what that build is, right? then you're going to go to the SEC or Big Ten, because linemen are just built differently in those conferences than, you know, than they are in the MAC or Conference USA or whatever. That's just, you know, the that build goes to the SEC or goes to the Big Ten. And so you need to have that familiarity with that level of football, that level of physicality, to, I think, be able to slot in immediately. And Caden Green had that at Oklahoma, right? You know, the Big 12 is still, I think, falls in that bucket and who he went up against. And starting as a freshman, that counts. Chris McClellan, the defensive tackle who came over from Florida, he knows that too. And you can see it with him that he can move. So I think that will be something that will be an important piece of, or an important part of those players' value as it goes on, and just help make that transition a quick one, because Mizzou isn't going to be under the or off anybody's radar to start this at all. You know, they're in every preseason top 25. They're in some preseason top 10s. You know, they can't make an argument that nobody's talking about them or giving them hype. Frankly, given how much they're replacing in terms of talent exported to the NFL, I think they're getting a very generous benefit of the doubt. Just returning Brady Cook and Luther Burden, I think, is what's getting them very far in a lot of this preseason hype. So it's going to be a challenge for them to back that up. And it's an entirely different approach to the season than it was last year. So plenty of time for all that to shake out, shape up as the summer rolls around. You know, there's another transfer portal window. There's media days. There's fall camp. There's the non-conference game. There's still a long way to go. It feels very pressing right now, but there's a long way to go. Speaking of things that might have a long way to go, Ben.
Good transition.
that was unplanned too. That was unplanned. The Mizzou athletic director search did take a step forward this week. In case you missed the story earlier in the week, Mizzou has named a search committee and hired a search firm to assist with this, both of which were entirely expected and part of the search that landed Desiree Reed-Francois. Ben, I'll ask you for your takeaways, but I'll run through mine real quick first here. So the search firm is Turnkey ZRG. I'm just going to call it Turnkey because that's kind of a clunky name, not very streamlined, as you'd expect from something that prides itself on hiring executives. The only notable things that I've noticed about them: one, it doesn't look as though Mizzou has worked with them before. If you look at their personnel, their VP of, I forget her exact title, but she is a VP with the company. Jocelyn Gates, Dennis Gates' wife, is a VP there. She will not be involved in this search. That would be a conflict of interest. She is hands-off, but it is her firm, or the firm that she is a part of, that is working with the university here. And then when you look at the search committee, it is made up of a handful of curators. Bob Blitz, who, again, the name should sound familiar to St. Louis folks. He was the attorney involved on behalf of St. Louis in the lawsuit against the Rams and the NFL over the relocation. He is also the chair of the Mizzou Athletics Oversight Committee. So he is taking on a big role with the curators as far as managing athletics. He is chairing the search committee. He's joined by three curators. There are a couple of folks from the UM system, General Counsel Office, Human Resources, their fiscal office. And then it's three very prominent donors who have been involved in searches before on there. So it's a fairly similar committee to the last time this happened. What I've gotten some questions about this week is the diversity of the committee in a couple regards. One, doesn't appear as though there are any people of color on the committee, and there are two women. Also, that there are no athletics department employees on this, no former student. Well, I think some of the donors might have been student athletes back in their day, but no, you know, more recent former coaches, athletes, anything like that. So it's going to be, you know, it seems as though it's going to be a university administration hire. Now, we don't know who else they're going to consult and how all that goes, but questions, you know, there are questions over some of that process stuff that pops up from people who pay attention here. And that's, you know, that's not to say this committee can't or won't make a great, good, or fine hire. All of those things can still happen. The outcome will be important. But Ben, you know, your kind of takeaways at this point in the process with this.
Well, I think I heard from people immediately upset that there weren't former football players on the committee in any way, shape, or form that I'm aware of, at least not recent ones that maybe have a kind of a current feel for the SEC Power Five football landscape, so they're going to catch some criticism there. I think it underscores what we've written, that this was very much a curator AD friction point going on that led to, in a lot of ways, Desiree Reed-Francois' departure, because look at the makeup of the search committee, and you'll kind of see that it's more or less the leaders, the most outspoken folks on the curator side for athletics. It's been interesting from the St. Louis perspective to observe the influence and kind of the stature that Bob Blitz has gained with the athletic side of things at Mizzou as a first-time curator. Obviously had a lot of connections to the Rams here in St. Louis, and he's very, I think, kind of become the spearhead in some ways of the curators' takes on, views of athletics. And I think he's got a good relationship with Eli Drinkwitz, and would be, it's interesting that he's kind of emerged as the point man, not just on the search committee, but on the committee that was created to oversee athletics. Now we'll see, I guess, if that committee remains with the new AD. Will it kind of dissolve if there's maybe an AD hired by this group that maybe has more of kind of a shared vision with the new AD? I don't know. We'll see. But I just wish that, and this is not, I wish somebody from Mizzou, whether Moon Choi or this board, would kind of give some clarity on what they're looking for. The press conference, the press release quotes are nice, but they don't say anything about kind of what the plan is here. Are they viewing somebody who can be a force in fundraising? Or do they want someone who can take football to new heights? And is that going to be the focus, or is it simply just they want something different? It would be, I think, enlightening to hear just a little bit about what the plan is. Are they going to consider folks with previous Power Five experience? Or are they open to somebody who hasn't been at that role? These are all things that would be kind of helpful in determining what the messaging is here around this search. And it's instead it's been mostly crickets since the departure of Desiree. And I think that kind of speaks to some of the uncertainty right now around this hire, is nobody seems to really know what exactly Mizzou's looking for. Now, maybe they blow it out of the water and land somebody that everybody goes, wow, it's obvious that they had a big upgrade in mind. Or then maybe there will be a hire that says, oh, they just wanted a change for the sake of change, and that's what they got. So we'll see. I know that there's been certainly been invitations to shed more light on this, from your expert tracking of Choi at the basketball game. And I've certainly reached out to folks asking if they want to share some thoughts and haven't heard back. So, we'll see. Maybe they'll let their actions speak for themselves. My impression is they're not rushing to make this hire, but it would be nice if they have a timeline in mind of when they'd like to have a new leader of athletics in place. So we don't have a lot of information to go off of here. I think that's in some ways by design, but I think getting some sort of vision out there other than kind of gauzy press release stuff might be helpful in terms of clarifying what they're looking for here.
Yeah, well, yeah. As someone with a lot of questions, I keep every time I write about this, I feel like I'm including the part that there are still a lot of questions on this, both the past, the present, and the future of what happened with Desiree Reed-Francois, and how did they feel about how things were going there, and how is that informing what's happening now? What they're looking for in the short term with the candidate, also the time frame in this process. And what they're going to do about Desiree Reed-Francois' contract buyout if a request gets there, and where they want this to be in the future. So, yeah, at Saturday's basketball game, a couple of us reporters we hustled up the stairs of Mizzou Arena there, got the workout in to catch up to Moon Choi and Rob Moniker. She's the chair of the board of curators. We came armed with many questions, and we were told there will be no questions. They were polite, but they did not want to talk, and that's their choice, but we are asking the questions and trying to get answers. They're just, if the folks who have the answers don't want to share the answers, until somebody gives journalists the power to issue subpoenas and get people to answer questions that way, we're not going to get a whole lot. So it'll be a little wait and see, I think. Go ahead, Ben.
The makeup of the committee is interesting. I wouldn't read too much into the search firm. I know a lot of people are drawing ties to the fact that Coach Gates' wife worked for them, that I don't that doesn't mean anything to me. These committees all do the these search firms all do the same things. They basically help come up with the same names that we've come up with, and they get paid a lot of money for it. But they do other things, and I'm not like I Missouri could do this without a search firm, absolutely, and they should, because it's I think in a lot of ways it's a waste of money. However, they do things like arrange interviews in secret, set up ways, discreet ways for sitting athletic directors to be interviewed. That used to be more complicated back when you had to do this stuff in person. I think now oftentimes it's just Zoom, which should make it even easier to do this without a search firm. But that's just status quo, and I wouldn't read too much into that. I know there's a backlash, understandably so, every time a search firm gets hired and paid, however much, 250 grand or whatever they make. But that's kind of just the way Missouri has done business on all of its hires for a long time. So I don't think it'll lead to any new candidates. I think we probably have a good sense of what who could be potential candidates, but maybe there's some surprises in there. I'm really curious to see when names start to trickle out of kind of if there's a clear direction as to where Mizzou's going here, and also too how much they're willing to invest in this. Do they view this as kind of trying to hire a rock star AD, or do they view this more as someone who kind of is viewed as maybe an extension of the board? That to me is really interesting here, and I think we're gonna if it's not going to be discussed going into it, we'll know maybe by the time the hire is made based off of who it is.
Yeah, and again, I think we talked about this when we kind of reacted to Desiree's exit of just the archetype of leader thereafter and what some of the goals are. They're looking for someone who's going to come in and be able to shake things up, maintain status quo, all of that. That'll be certainly become more clear once there is a hire and maybe once some of these candidate names come out. But for now, it still remains fairly quiet on the athletic director search front. But Ben, our quick three segment today is tailored to the athletic director search. We're gonna play a quick three game that is called Ben Fredrickson has been named the Mizzou athletics director, and see
Oh,
where
bad
you
news for
fall.
everybody.
Well, I think the fact that this is going out there publicly, we'll consider this your job interview
Okay.
for this. I've heard many links of people saying you would be the perfect candidate
Yeah.
after some of your takes lately.
Yeah, you've clearly been reading Tiger Board. Yeah.
there a lot of fans
Big,
a lot
they're
of fans of you
big
out there.
fans of me on there. Yeah.
Just in if Twitter had a vote,
Sure.
I'm not sure. So your first question, as the new athletics director, is a somewhat pressing one. The women's basketball season is over. How do you handle Robin Pinchon's contract and her tenure at Mizzou? Are you cutting ties with her very quickly after you get the job and starting a search? Are you giving her one more year? Are you extending her? What are you doing with the women's basketball situation?
I think just for the sake of, and I would view this very much as, and people who are diehard women's women's basketball fans may not like this answer because I know they're tired of seeing an underperforming team recently. I think my decision there would probably be based more on how the perception I would want to give to the current coaches more so than anything else. I would sit down with Coach Pynchon and say, okay, what's the plan to be more relevant next season? And I would kind of in some ways say, okay, we're gonna get to know each other over the course of a season. We're gonna see how that shakes out. If she was open to doing a one more year to and kind of maybe that's a restart of what Desiree Reed Francois did this past season of like, okay, one year make or break. But as the new AD, if I felt like Robin had support in the community, and I think she's pretty well entrenched in the community. I know there are certainly fans who are disappointed, but with a young team, I wouldn't probably make my first firing a long tenured women's basketball coach. And maybe that doesn't say as much about what I would believe in Robin Pynchon to turn this around, but just in terms of the optics, I might say, hey, fresh start for everybody involved here. I'm new here. One more season, and then let's revisit this. I don't think that makes or breaks you. And I think it could buy you some goodwill with your current coaches. And also, I wouldn't ignore the fact that the most success Mizzou women's basketball has had, it's been under this current coach. So that's probably how I would play it. And I would probably, not that it's not important, but I wouldn't probably come in and make that sort of splash as my first impression.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And that's why the timing of this is so important, because the optics are either an interim AD who is by all accounts a good leader, but has been with the athletic department for less than a year.
Yeah.
Either it's Marcy Gray in the interim firing Pynchon, or it's a new athletic director doing so. And Pynchon has been around. She coached in the Big 12. She has been around for well over a decade. It's tough to just, let her go just like that, even if it is merited.
Yeah, I also think that you have to look at the conversation and how that goes. I mean, if Robin's not bought in, if she's not fired up, then you make a change. You have to read the person and the coach and see if there's real fire and intensity in getting this right and getting back on track. If she's tired, if she's spent, if she's done with this, that happens. And you got to be able to read that as an AD, because you don't want to go to bat for somebody whose heart's not in it. And I don't, that would be the conversation is, are we going to do this together, or is it time to make a change? And you more or less let the coach maybe answer that and view kind of the outlook and the plan. If there's no plan, then you got to make the call.
All right. So from a facility standpoint, we're going to assume the North Concourse project, you as the new athletic director, that is on a track and it is happening, and you have no real control over starting or stopping that. Besides what will happen there, what's the first facilities project or upgrade that you are pitching to the board of curators?
The first non-football improvement.
Yeah, we'll say, or just non-Memorial Stadium, non-indoor practice facility. Yeah, football's got the goods.
Yeah, well, football's, I think, going to continue to be that certainly seems to be the view of the current curators group, is that they want football, 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 and they want everything else to kind of draft behind that. And people can agree or disagree with that, but there's a case to be made that if football is your crown jewel, then everything else, if that succeeds, gets better. Now, if it doesn't, then fair question as to why are you investing all these resources into football and not spreading the love around. This has been my pet peeve since Missouri went into the SEC. And this may not be something that would be popular, but I would really make a priority to try to get baseball more competitive, because I think that in the SEC, baseball is a big sport. And I don't know that a lot of fans who maybe are not as familiar with the comings and goings of the SEC realize that. I mean, at a lot of these programs, baseball is bigger than men's basketball, or at least tied for second behind football. And I like the hire they've made there, but I would try to find ways to raise the profile of Mizzou baseball. And I know it's challenging. The stadium's a challenge. The climate's a challenge. All of these challenges are legitimate. But I think that if Mizzou's going to get bang for its buck, a lot of the sports are going well. I would try to get baseball. I would make a priority to try to get baseball closer to being, from a non-revenue sport to one that can help you. I think there's, we all know the challenges, but I think that would be a valid quest for the new AD. And I think it was one that Desiree Reed-Francois, emphasized in terms of making a hire. But I think that Mizzou's baseball potential is bigger than what has been shown, and I would try to find ways to emphasize that.
Well, I think it's certainly in terms of room to grow, the investment in baseball has plenty of room to grow. It doesn't need to skyrocket too much, Even a small level investment, I think, could be a lot for them.
I mean, they've got great former players who are doing great things in the league, and not to go over old war wounds, but not taking Tony Vitello as the opportunity to hire him and looking at seeing what he's done at Tennessee, it just, I think, and I'm not saying that he could have done exactly that at Mizzou, but it illustrates that there have been opportunities to capitalize that haven't been capitalized upon. And I just feel like if you're in the SEC, you should try to make your baseball team as relevant as you can.
It seems like that's an obligation in a conference that does enjoy college baseball. All right, Ben, since this is your interview for the position, the last question for you is, what questions do you have for Mizzou? If you were in this athletic director department, what is the most burning question for you that you would want to have assured or answered before you would accept that job?
Well, I would ask if anybody knows of a good place that provides home rentals instead of realtors. Look, the reality is this is gonna be the fourth AD within the last 8 years. Mac Rhodes, Jim Stirk, Desiree Reed, Francois, and now this hire. And I think
That's you, Ben. You
in
are
all
the hire.
seriousness, my question would be, what has been the I would want to know from the people making the hire what in their eyes has been the biggest reason that this has been such a transient job. And I would want candid answers. And I would use those answers to try to build something that can be more stable. I think that until Missouri really has this, Missouri, and I'm guilty of doing this in the past, this idea of like every hire needs to be the last hire. People need to stay in a job forever for it to be good. It's not true. It's never been less true in college athletics. Coaches leave, players leave. You have to have, an ability to go and make good hires. And if you're losing people to better jobs, you're doing something right. However, the ADs leaving Mizzou haven't always been leaving for better jobs. And I would want some real kind of, I think, inward-facing clarity from Mizzou as to why that is. Because if you're going to fix it and you're going to have somebody who stands the test of time, then you've got to be clear about what didn't work for those other people. And you have to hire someone who can either work around that or solve it or fix it, or else you're going to keep kind of rotating through characters. And I don't think that's the best thing for this role. I think having somebody who can weather the storm and get all of the cooks that are in the kitchen at Mizzou on the same assembly line. Not that there will never be flare-ups or fires, but someone who can overcome them. I think that's something that Mizzou has been lacking and missing for a long time. You really haven't seen it since, Mike Alden. And it wasn't always perfect for Mike Alden, but he showed an ability to get things done and work with all kinds of different people. And really, not since then has there been someone who's passed that test. So maybe the conversation would be best to add with Mike, but asking the folks at Mizzou what they feel like has led to the turnover would probably be the first step in trying to not be the next in the line of it. So that would be my question.
All right. Well, at this point, we're pleased to offer you the position.
Yeah,
We have
great.
a we have a lovely rental overlooking the baseball complex that you can move on into. It happened to be the old nuclear research reactor, but they're spending $1 billion on a new one, so don't worry about the radiation. But all right, we'll call that an episode for today. Thanks for listening, y'all. We always appreciate you tuning in. We appreciate when you rate, review, like, subscribe, do all the things you can do to support your friendly neighborhood Mizzou sports podcast. We'll be back next week without Ben Fredrickson. We wish him luck in his quest to Florida. The injury bug has hit the Cardinals, so he's cleared for takeoff, and we'll have a guest on for you next week. Until then, enjoy the rest of basketball season. Enjoy what you're seeing out of spring football, and we'll see what AD news we have to discuss next week as well. Thanks, y'all.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.